Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. And what a blessing it already has been just being in the Lord's house on this Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Judges, chapter 8. Judges chapter 8 as we continue our series on the life of Gideon. And boy, it's been a tremendous blessing to study the life of Gideon. And of course, for me to study it, I get more out of it than what I'm able to get to you. But it's a blessing, no doubt, to study it. And I trust it's a blessing to hear the Word of God being preached. And receiving some of these helpful principles of the Old Testament through this Old Testament story and seeing how they have been presented to us in New Testament Christianity, I trust it's been a help to you as well. And so Judges chapter 8, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verses 10 down to verse 13 tonight. Verse 10, now Ziba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Ziba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, and took the two kings of Midian, Ziba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for a privilege to be in church on this Wednesday night. Thank you for the precious holy word that you have preserved for us, especially as we've been studying this life of Gideon. And God, the help that you have for us through understanding these biblical principles that we can apply to our own lives. Pray that you would bless and empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Well, Gideon, the mighty man of valor, just a farmer, didn't have any special talent or skills, but God called him. And in the hands of God, God seen him in his hands. And in the hands of God, Gideon was a mighty man of valor. And we're seeing this come to pass. As Gideon, once he understood and knew beyond the shadow of doubt it was God's will to do what he was going to do, he and his 300 men defeated 135,000 Midianites. I mean, just we went through that. What a tremendous accomplishment. And just seeing what we can do if we're sold out to the Lord, what we can do if we just trust and doing, knowing what it's God's will for us to get it done, and God can empower us to do whatever it is that he wants us to do. And what a testimony. 300 defeating 135,000 Midianite soldiers. And so a tremendous, tremendous blessing there. Last week, we looked in chapter 8, and we studied the pursuit of Gideon, because the Bible says in verse 4 that they were faint, yet pursuing. Faint, yet pursuing. He had, no doubt, they had been spending all the time. They didn't have much time to rest. There's not much time to sleep. They didn't have time to eat. I mean, God has working through them. And not only did they defeat the 135,000, now they're pursuing them. In their pursuit, they had to deal with some of the things from the tribe of Ephraim, which actually caused them more time and more energy to try to deal with Ephraim as to what Ephraim wanted to try to criticize, how they did what they did. And then they moved on from there, and they looked to two of the tribes of Israel that should have been a help to them. Actually, both these would have been out of the tribe of Dan. But of the ones that should have given them the support, they ask for some refreshment. They asked them for some food and refreshment, just for some support, as they were pursuing the rest of the Midianite soldiers so that they could utterly destroy them so that they would not have to worry about the Midianites coming back on their land and oppressing them. They should have supported them, but they did not. And we looked at that last week, how that sometimes we expect support from those that love the Lord, whether it be parents of children, spouses of married couples, churches of born-again believers, other church members, to do the right thing, and we're looking to do the right thing, and we're looking for some encouragement, some support, and we don't get them. Matter of fact, we actually get treated as if we're in the wrong, and how that can be very discouraging. And so we looked at that. They were faint, yet pursuing, and even though they did not get the help from the men of Succoth and Peniel, they didn't allow, they would not allow the failures of others, of those around them, to keep them from accomplishing God's will. Now that's important, because even though we should get the support of others, the Christians, we should be able to rely upon the support of a Christian home, a Christian church, Christian brothers and sisters, might not always get it. But we can't allow their failures to support us, to keep us from accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. And so they continue the pursuit. Gideon continues his pursuit. And that's what we read here tonight. This next lesson plan that we're looking at here is they continue. They didn't allow the men of Succoth and the men of Peniel. They didn't allow the tribe of Ephraim to discourage them to the place where they quit, because they were serving God. If you're serving your parents, then I can see how your parents can keep you from accomplishing something. If you're serving your spouse, I can see how they can keep you from accomplishing something. If you're serving your children, if you're serving your church members. But if you're serving God, then why let anyone else keep you from accomplishing what God has for you to accomplish? Sometimes, again, Satan's going to work through the one that you least expect to be a hindrance to you. And if you're not on guard, if you're not prepared for that, then that's going to throw you for a spin. And it will end up in failure. But we find here that Gideon, this mighty man of God, even though he didn't get the support that he was looking for, he kept focused on God, and he would overcome. He would overcome. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, because as Gideon would not be hindered, he would continue. I think, no doubt, this is exactly what Jesus has revealed to the believers. We can know what's going to take place, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find a lot about what's going to happen in heaven at the end times. We've got to go on to heaven, have a glorified body. But all that, understanding that, that's your relationship with God and what God is going to offer you, what God has to encourage you by. With God, what God has to encourage you by ought to be enough to overcome. No matter who else stands with you, no matter who else supports you, what God has to offer us, if you understand the blessings, the future blessings that God has for His children, as we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, then you can understand why Paul closes out this chapter 15 with verse 58, and he says this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." You're serving God. You see clearly what God would have you to do, what he has you here to accomplish. Be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't quit. Don't stop. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I believe that God encouraged Gideon with the spirit of verse 58. Because he could have been discouraged. He could have just thrown up his hands, and he could have allowed all these other hindrances kept him from moving forward. But somehow, some way, the very same truth that Jesus presents to us through this Pauline epistle in 1 Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast. Gideon, be steadfast. Be unmovable. Just keep abounding in the work. Just keep pursuing until the job is finished. Just keep pursuing. He would have to overcome several things. The first thing we find here that you have to overcome, because the Bible says he was faint. He was looking for nourishment. He was looking for some kind of food and physical strength, physical help. As far as we know right here, they were faint and yet pursuing. They didn't get any. The only place that they could have gotten it, the closest cities that would have helped them, would have been Succoth, and it would have been this other Peniel, and yet neither one of them offered them any kind of help. They rejected giving them water. They rejected giving them any kind of encouragement, any kind of food. And so they were still faint. But they continued to pursue. Sometimes we have to overcome physical weaknesses. Still faint. No apparent help in sight. But there's still work to be done. What do I do? Do I quit? Do I give up? Yeah. Or do I overcome? Physical limitations can do a lot of things to us. It can slow our pace. It can weaken our efforts. It can dampen our spirits. Still work to be done, but I've got to be on medication. And you have to weigh it out. I'll tell you what, just don't take medication because the doctor tells you to take medication. Research it. Research it. As you research it, understand if there's going to be side effects to it, you have to ask God to help you with the side effects of whatever the medication might be, because you don't want the medication to keep you from doing what God has you here to do. And sometimes we have physical illnesses that we have to overcome. I have a couple different things that I'm dealing with as I get older and whatever I have to do. And I'm on a certain medications that I have researched. I know what to expect. Now, that doesn't make it any easier dealing with the side effects, but it does help me to keep doing what God's called me to do. Because I'm not confused in my mind as far as what the devil's trying to confuse me with and what the devil's trying to keep me from doing what God's called me to do. I know that God is still on the throne, and if he doesn't take this infirmity away, then I've got to deal with it just as the natural things of life and the natural things of the flesh. So I have to research it. I have to make sure that I am doing my part to deal with whatever it is that I have physically. Because you could look to this person, you could look to that person, you could look to this doctor, you could look to that doctor, but there was no help in sight. Succoth would not give them anything, wouldn't give them any food, and so now they're still faint, but there's still a job to be done, and they continued to pursue to get the job done. It means that we can overcome physical infirmities. If we're doing the work of God, now if you're not doing the work of God, then you have no reason why God would allow you to overcome that physical infirmity. But if you're serving God as a Christian man, if you're serving God as a Christian woman, if you're serving God as Christian parents, if you're serving God as a witness in this world, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, then you have a job that God wants you to complete. And you can complete it even though you might be battling some physical infirmities. We all will from time to time. And as we get older, the natural process is this body's dying. And so with it dying, there's going to be even more and more. I can't do what I used to do, but I can still do. Amen. God doesn't expect me to do what I used to do, but he does expect me to continue to do. If there's no expectation of me doing anything for the Lord, then he's going to take me on to glory. If I'm here, he still has a purpose and a plan for my being here. He had a purpose and a plan for Gideon to complete the task. He had a purpose and a plan for Gideon to chase down the remainder of the Midianites and destroy the Midianites, with or without the help of those around you. As long as you are looking to God. Everyone must be aware of their own limitations. Something I've told my girls a long time ago. You got to learn your own body. You got to learn your own limitations. You got to know what's going on with your body. It's your temple. It's your body. And everyone's a little different. Everyone responds to medications a little different. Everyone's endurance is a little different. Everyone's what you're able to do and what you're not able to do is going to be different. God never expects us to go beyond what we're able to do with his help. But we have to rely upon his help. I guarantee you, the Bible doesn't say that Gideon turned to God, but we know that Gideon turned to God because there was no one else to turn to, and he didn't quit. He pursued. He was faint and he was yet pursuing, the Bible says. He looked for the help that was available around him. There was no help. He didn't quit. He continued to pursue. And so the only place that he could have found the help that he needed to pursue was God. Yeah. I believe that we need to do everything we can do to keep ourselves as healthy as we can. I believe that's the New Testament temple. This body's a temple of God. It's not something because my spirit dwells within it. It's something because as a born-again believer, God's spirit dwells within it. And I need to keep it healthy. If I'm doing anything that's going to cause this body to break down, if I'm doing anything that's going to potentially cause this body to have cancers or some kind of ailments or whatever, then that's sin against myself. That's sin against my own body. I've often said, if I would start smoking, I would open a door for Satan to give me cancer. Because it's proven that cigarette smoking causes cancer. It's on every pack that people buy and smoke anyway. If you knew that you're opening the door for Satan to use that to destroy your body, you wouldn't do it. If I would start drinking alcohol, you see, then I would open up the door for Satan to cause me to have cirrhosis of the liver, which would hinder me from doing a whole lot of things. It would hinder me and keep me from doing the things that God would have me to do. But I've opened the door to it because I haven't taken care of my body, and I've even went beyond that, and I've added to my body things that's going to destroy it. So I'm not going to give Satan that open door. I'm not going to give Satan an open door in my mind. I'm not going to give Satan an open door in my heart. I'm not going to give Satan an open door in my physical body. I am going to keep it as healthy as I can. If I do my part, I am convinced God will do his part. If it's God's will that I am doing, he will enable me to accomplish what he's called me to do. Amen. You see, some people, and this is a rarity, and usually when I say something, you hear this preached, the wrong people get a hold of it. But to run yourself into the ground will only limit your time and ability to serve God. That's not an excuse for you to do nothing. The wrong people used to get a hold of that. All right, so that's right. So I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to run myself. No, you're the wrong person. No, you need to get off of the couch and get out there and do something that's going to benefit the cause of Christ. But it's that person that has such a love for God, if Satan can't get them doing evil in the flesh, he'll get them doing good in the flesh. In the flesh, you cannot please God, and you do more than what God would have you to, and you run your own health into the ground, and that is not what God would have us to do. I need to know that I am doing what God would have me to do. God would not have me to put my health at risk. Amen. Because that would be sinning against my own body. Too many Christians, they don't understand that idea. God will not lead you to do more than you could do, but Satan will. If he can't get you doing evil in the flesh, again, doing good in the flesh, going beyond what God would have you to do, to the place it's hurting you and your health and your family, it's not God's will for you to do that. It's God's will for you to keep priorities in line. You never take a lower priority and put it over a higher priority and think you're serving God. God does not work that way. God does everything decently and in order. And we had better understand the priorities of our life and give ourselves to those priorities so that Satan doesn't come in, destroy some of the things that God would have us to accomplish. Yeah. Wow. He would look to God. There was nowhere else to look. He just knew he wouldn't give up. He knew that it was not for him to quit, but he was going to be steadfast. He was not going to move from accomplishing what God had given him to accomplish. Like I said, he had 1 Corinthians 15:58 rehearsed in his heart and his mind. Amen. And Jesus has given us that and using this story to help us to understand it's still effective for us today. He was not going to let the failures of others who should have helped him but didn't keep him from accomplishing his God's will for his life. So instead of stopping and quitting, he looked to God for the strength and his 300 to accomplish the task. And he pursued. He pursued. You see, their faintness was not brought on by their lack of doing what they could to take care of themselves. They were faint and yet pursuing, but it wasn't brought on by them not doing what they could. It was brought on by things that they had no control over. And when they did not have control over, they looked to God to control it. And God strengthened Gideon for the task. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody with me tonight?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Our faith chapter. This is a principle. This is something that all of the men and women of faith in the Old Testament got a hold of. It's a principle that we need to get a hold of. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I say, my more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Look, he put all those there together with Gideon, who through faith subdued kingdoms, the Midianites, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Look right here. Out of weakness. Out of faintness. Out of weakness, the Bible says, were made strong. They were faint and they couldn't go on. They were faint and they were calling out to those the other tribes of Israel. We just need some nourishment. We need some food to replenish our bodies, to strengthen our bodies so that we can continue the pursuit. We need that from you. And they got a zero. They said, no, we will not support you. We will not give you anything. So where did they draw the strength from? The Bible tells us, the Lord. Because they said, job's not done. That means that God's not finished yet. He's put us on the trail. We know what his will is for our lives. And even though we don't know how we're going to be strong enough to get it done, we will get it done. They did everything they could do. And they drew the rest of it from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. The Apostle Paul, yeah. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. See, God's grace is God's help. God's presence is help. If I'm with you, you can do it. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in faintness. Physical weakness. Yeah. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yeah. So he would have to overcome physical weakness. Don't let physical weakness keep you from doing what God's called you to do. But make sure that you're doing what God would have you to do. God would not have you put yourself at risk. He would not have you to put your health at risk. No. So then that's not God's will for your life. But if you know it is something that is God's will for your life, then look to him to strengthen you physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually to get it done. Yeah. So Gideon would not only have to overcome physical weakness. Go back with me to our text here. There were some other things here. He would have to overcome comparing this next battle with the previous battle. Because in comparison, it would almost be like giving you the okay to stop short. Look at verse 10. Now Ziba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of the hosts of the children of East. For there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. So we've already defeated 120,000 men. Wow. Pat on the back. We have an excuse to stop. We've already defeated. We won the main battle now. They're on the run. They're out of the country. 124,000, they're dead. They're gone. There's only 15,000 left. Maybe it's time for a break. Maybe it's time to say, hey, we've done enough. We've done our part. Come on, 300 of us. There was 300 of us and we defeated 120. Who could ask us for more? Who could say that you have not earned the right to take a break? Sometimes we look back at what we've accomplished And it hinders us from even doing more. Because we'll get that mentality about the time somebody else steps up to the plate. And that will keep you from the blessings of completing your task. That'll keep you from the blessings of seeing God supernaturally empower you to get the job completed. It wasn't God's will for them to quit. It wasn't God's will for them to step aside. What could 15,000 do? What could 15,000 do? Well, I don't know. 300 just killed 120,000. Yeah. Sometimes we compare things that we should not be comparing things. Sometimes we get off track and not seeing it the way God wants us to see it. What is your battles? What is your accomplishments? Why are we here? Come on. What is priorities in our lives? Husband? Wife? Mom? Dad? Church member? Christian? Do we have priorities? Do we really know what God has us here to accomplish? Are we just living life without any thought of what we're here to do? Can I tell you something that I know that Gideon and God wanted Gideon to consider and that we need to consider as well? Let us always consider the generations that will follow us. It's been the failure of past generations that has led to our failures today. At the same time, it's been the success of generations before us that has led to our successes today. How will we leave the next generation? Can I tell you that we've been 2,000 years in the New Testament church? Thank God for the first century church, second century church, third century church, all the way to the 21st century church. How are we going to leave the generation that follows us? Do we even think about it? Do we think about the testimony that we're setting for our children to set for their children? Are we so selfish that we don't care? They'll survive. I've had that a couple divorces in our church over the years, and both of them said the same thing. Oh, they'll survive. Because I tried to bring it back up and said, it's not just about the two of you. It's about your children and the generations to follow. They will be impacted by the decisions you two will make. There's divorces ever, preacher. They'll survive. Really? You're so self-centered that you want what you want and no consideration about how it's going to impact the lives of your own children and generations to follow. Is that right? Wonder how God thinks about that. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I think God wants us to be aware of the generation to follow. It's seen throughout the New Testament, but especially right here in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That'll help you to make it through anything. It will. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Don't water it down. Don't change it. The next generation needs exactly the same thing that you needed. And the generation that'll follow them, they'll need the very same things. and the generation that'll follow them, and every generation until the rapture of the church, they'll need what I have given you. Now, therefore, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're going to go through some hardships. Endure them. If not for your sake, for the sake of those that are looking to you, for the sake of the generation that'll follow. Praise God for this Lighthouse Baptist Church. Praise God for this fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Because this city and this state and this United States and this world needs more of them. Praise God for everyone that'll stand behind the work, the true work, and the true word of the Lord. Yeah. We have the future generations to think of. Sometimes it makes me sad to think what my grandchildren might have to face when I see some of the parades downtown and see some and hear some of the garbage on television and the garbage in politics. I just got to know that I'm doing my part. That's all I can do. That's all you can do. And God will do the rest. Yeah. But I got to do my part. They had to overcome comparing the next battle with the previous one. They would have to look to finish and not allow themselves to be discouraged by those who failed to help. The criticism of Ephraim or the lack of support from Succoth and Peniel. We can't allow ourselves to be discouraged. There's a lot of things, if you allow it to, will discourage you. Amen. It really will. I'm just not going to allow it. I want to stay encouraged. There's a lot of things that can encourage me. If I'm up here preaching, whether it's on a Wednesday night or Sunday morning, whatever it is, I don't look at the ones that are not paying attention, that would rather sleep instead of listen to the message. I don't look, that's discouraging. I want to look at those that are on the edge of the pews and just taking it in and saying, yeah, preach it, preacher. Because I don't want to get discouraged while I'm preaching, amen? I like to hear the amens. I like to hear the support for the preaching of the Word of God. And that encourages me to keep on keeping on. Yeah. I choose where I look. I choose what I allow to influence me, to discourage me or to encourage me. And I choose to be encouraged. I guarantee you in your life, you look around, there's a lot of things, if you choose to look to those things, will discourage you. But at the same time, there's a whole lot of things that if you focus on and look to, will encourage you as well. They chose not to look at the things that would discourage them and to continue the pursuit looking to God for His strength. Go back with it. We're done here. But I'm going to share one last thought. Gideon was successful. Wait, he was faint. They was ready to pass out. He didn't get any support, didn't get any help from those that he thought he could get it from, and yet ended up all he needed was God. Yeah, because in Gideon, verse 11, went up by the way of them that dwell in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha, and smote the host, for the host was secure. You see, it was for the host, they thought they were secure. They thought they had traveled enough, and with everything else going on, surely no one would pursue after them. They didn't know Gideon. They didn't know the strength that God could give Gideon. And he defeated them because they weren't expecting. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, and he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomforted all the host. 15,000, there's still only 300 of his men. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. Had a quick victory. God gave them an astounding but quick victory. See, God gave them this victory through another intervention. He intervened to give them the victory over the 135,000. When the 15,000 were left, God intervened. It was still 50-1, but God intervened and gave them the victory over the 15,000. Gideon's recorded victory is an encouragement to me. I choose to think about this story. When there's a lot of discouragement going on around us, think of Gideon. You have it now. Amen. You understand it now. If Gideon could do it, and God's recorded it for us to learn, I can do it. Now, there's a lot of others that you could identify with in the scriptures and be encouraged by David. You can be encouraged by on and on and on, so many of them that were able to do some amazing things because of God's help. But think of Gideon. Not only have I been encouraged by thinking of Gideon's victory, but many others over the past centuries have been encouraged. As we accomplish our tasks, it will help others who are made aware. As we made aware of Gideon, did it not encourage you? Maybe when your child is thinking about whether or not they should hang in there with the marriage or not, maybe they can look back and say, you know, Mom and Dad stayed married. I think we can. Mom and Dad worked through it. Now, they had their issues and they had their situations there, but they didn't give up on what God had given to them, and that is a marriage. I think we might be able to do that. So-and-so raised a godly seed. Even in the midst of this old sin-cursed world, they raised children to serve the Lord. It's on the mission field, serving God in the ministry. If they did it, maybe we can. Let's not give up on it. I've been at this church since the conception, 35 years. At some point, I think there's another pastor, and I've had several come up to me and tell me this, but said, "Preacher, because of your faithfulness, that's helped me to realize that I can be faithful. I can work through some of these difficulties in our church because I know it can be done." Sometimes our successes in accomplishing what God has for us to accomplish not only will bring to us blessings, it will bring to others that look to us an encouraging example that will help them to not give up, not quit, but stay steadfast and unmovable. Yeah. Let's continue the pursuit. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Whatever that pursuit is, don't give up on it. If you know God's given you that pursuit, don't quit till it's finished. He didn't give it to you to quit on it. He gave it to you for you to see it through. And no matter who else is supporting you, as long as you're doing all you can do, you can trust in God to do His part. Continue the pursuit. Not going to have a musical invitation. There's always an invitation. God spoke to you tonight. There's something you need to take care of. You can do it in your pew. You can come to this altar, but don't let it just pass you by. Get a hold of it. Make plans to apply it. Continue the pursuit. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, once again for the life of Gideon, for the opportunity we have to come to church, hear the word of God preached. Not only hear it preached, but have it made applicable to our lives here today. And I pray that's happened here tonight, that you would allow this message to be applied to many different situations and circumstances in our people's lives. Give us the victory. Strengthen us so we can continue the pursuit. For this we pray in Jesus' name.